Now the two armies finally met in battle. Exhausted by their pursuit of Scipio, their cavalry neutralized by Massinissa, the Carthaginians were defeated, and with no refuge close enough to retreat to, Hannibal was forced to surrender. Carthage quickly sued for peace, and under the harsh terms imposed by Scipio and the Senate, it was reduced to a client state of Rome. As a Mediterranean power and a threat to Rome, Carthage was finished for good. Interpretation. The Romans were dazzled by Hannibal's strategic genius. They came to so fear him that the only strategies they could use against him were delay and avoidance. Scipio Africanus simply saw differently. At every turn, he looked not at the enemy army, nor even at its leader, but at the pillar of support on which it stood, its critical vulnerability. When you look at your rivals, do not be distracted by their punch. To engage in any exchange of punches in life or in war is the height of stupidity and waste. Power depends on balance and support, so look at what is holding your enemy up, and remember that what holds him up can also make him fall. A person, like an army, usually gets his or her power from three or four simultaneous sources: money, popularity, skillful maneuvering, some particular advantage he has fostered. Knock out one, and he will have to depend more on the others. Knock out those, and he is lost. Weaken a boxer's legs, and he will reel and stagger, and when he does, be merciless. No power can stand without its legs. Keys to warfare. The most visible thing about power is its outward manifestation, what its witnesses see and feel. An army has its size, its weaponry, its shows of discipline, its aggressive maneuvers. Individuals have many ways of showing their position and influence. It is the nature of power to present a forceful front, to seem menacing and intimidating, strong and decisive. But this outward display is often exaggerated or even downright deceptive, since power does not dare show its weaknesses. And beneath the display is the support on which power rests, its center of gravity. The phrase is von Clausewitz's, who elaborated it as the hub of all power and movement on which everything depends. This is the part that governs the whole, a kind of nerve center. To attack the center of gravity, to neutralize or destroy it, is the ultimate strategy in war, for without it, the whole structure will collapse. The enemy may have great generals and strong armies, like Hannibal and his invincible army in Italy, but without a center of gravity, those armies cannot move and have no force or coherence. The enemy's center of gravity is where an injury will hurt him most, his point of greatest vulnerability. Hitting him there is the best way to end a conflict definitively and economically. Your enemy's center of gravity can be something abstract, like a quality, concept, or aptitude on which he depends, his reputation, his capacity to deceive, his unpredictability. But such strengths become critical vulnerabilities if you can make them unattractive or unusable. To find an enemy's center of gravity, you have to erase your own tendency to think in conventional terms, or to assume that the other side's center is the same as your own. In any interaction with people, you must train yourself to focus on their strength, the source of their power, whatever it is that gives them their most crucial support. That knowledge will afford you many strategic options, many angles from which to attack, subtly or not so subtly undermining their strength rather than hitting it head on. You can create no greater sense of panic in your enemies than that of being unable to use their strengths. Reversal. Every living creature has a center of gravity. Even the most decentralized group has to communicate and depends on a network that is vulnerable to attack. There is no reversal to this principle.